Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
To go from gamer to racer, virtual to actual. From playing in your bedroom to driving a professional sponsored race car.
Everybody was skeptical. They said just because a guy is good at Tiger Woods golf does not mean he's going to go and win the Masters.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
I'm laughing already. I can feel the funny flowing through us.
Oh, you both sound like it too. Wow, what high energy.
Ben Vanel here. Couldn't think of a joke for this week because I've just been playing Elden Ring still.
Yeah.
A man who's also been playing Elden Ring.
I've been playing a bit of Elden Ring, but I've bothered to think of a joke here. Elden Ring. That's what my parents do when they call me to ask when I'm going to get someone pregnant.
Yeah. Elden. They're specifically calling you up to say, Adam, when are you going to impregnate
someone? I'm old. And I'm ringing you.
When are you going to impregnate someone?
Just anybody. We don't care.
Spread the seed around.
I want to smell that new baby smell again.
Nah, they don't care about anything.
Well, speaking of Elden Ring, we talked about it thoroughly last week.
Yes.
In fact, I think we talked about it for the entire episode.
It was all we talked about. We briefly mentioned like the Pokemon thing that happened last week at the end, but we were the clock was against us.
Yeah, the clock was against us. And a lot of commentary in the lead up to last week's episode and post last week's episode. People going, oh, yeah, Tommy, of course you're having trouble playing this game. You're no good at stuff. And I thought...
Just to like be clear as well, Tommy was doing a mocking keyboard gesture.
Yeah.
Keyboard warrior.
Typing away with my little
weird way. Weird way to imitate someone who's right, but go on.
Yes.
People can look like freaks.
Yeah, exactly. We often will have like sort of homework on this show where we're playing the big new thing that's come out to talk about it. But this week I set myself the task. I was like, I'll be damned if I'm going to be defined by something I cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving these people the satisfaction of being right about me.
Yep.
So I dedicated a big chunk of time this week to getting past Margit.
Yep.
And did it. And I'm in on this game now.
Yeah, yes.
I do not have anything like the time that I need to be playing it as much as I would like.
Yeah.
I'm busily working on a festival show and other life commitments.
Mm-hmm.
But I got over that hurdle.
Yeah.
I had that great feeling of taking down that boss and spent a few hours just going and fucking around in a different direction, went down into the south, I guess, into this other little castle that I found.
That's right. You went all the way to the bottom, to the bottom of the Weeping Peninsula.
Yep.
You've been checking in with us like, oh, now I'm like, because you're up to the next boss, which is, you know, a little bit tougher. But yeah, it's been fun to hear that we're all in.
I think the points that I'm enjoying the most are still the points in between the bosses, like kind of stalking my way through the castle to the next big guy and like all the little.
Would you say that you find the bosses? I guess I'll phrase this as in the same way that you phrased the question that you asked Jason Bateman when he was on the press tour for the film Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
Are you finding the bosses in Elden Ring horrible?
Jason Bateman, so the film's called Horrible Bosses. Have you ever had a massive difficulty spike in your life? I'd love to have just a clear couple of days where I can just spend a lot more time on this game.
Mm.
But that's okay. I'll come back to it when I get a little bit more free time. But yes, getting through that hurdle and feeling like I am in on this game, even though a lot of it is still like in terms of like the menus and
mm-hmm.
kind of like the way certain things work, is very obtuse and never explained to you. For example, being able to reallocate the flasks
and
how
sure.
many charges you can use. I kind of stumbled across that by accident.
Yes,
it's
me
in
too.
In your like bonfire or sorry, side of grace.
Yes, menu, you have to go like you have to be curious of like, well, what options could there be with flasks?
Yeah, because
it just says flasks.
And that is the that's a really good way to describe how you the best way to interact with this game is just to be curious about stuff.
Yeah.
Because it won't let you know. Like at some of the bonfire, the sites of grace, you can talk with your pal who's along with you for the way.
Right.
I forget her fucking name. Melina? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes you can talk with her. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes there'll be options for things like that. So, yeah, always being curious and checking and going like, oh, I wonder if this guy has anything more to say now or,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. That finding sort of stuff. That stuff is very similar to, like, older RPGs.
Totally.
Right? Like, 90s JRPGs specifically of, like, yeah. just keep hitting that button because the third time they might say something new.
Exactly.
I think the thing that I stumbled across in that in the peninsula, in that little castle that I found, which made me feel the most kind of Breath of the Wild-ish about this game other than just the open world design and everything like that, is the little kind of like tableaus that you come across.
Yes.
Of just like just life kind of happening where you go into this one area and there's like a little... there's a little scene playing out.
Right.
That you
can
kind of just
I know the one you mean.
Sort of
yeah.
just sit around a corner and kind of like watch it play out. Like you can just jump into the mix. But seeing those kinds of things happen is also a thing that made me go, oh, this is really cool. Like
yeah.
you can just kind of stumble across these little, yeah, these little moments that are happening that make the world feel really lived in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad to have persisted. Yeah, it took me a while. But yeah, that feeling of taking down that first boss was fucking great.
I really do think once you go over that precipice too with these games, the whole thing, like has happened for you, Ben, clicks.
I was going to say, yeah, I went back to Sekiro and just beat the first boss that I was stuck on. I would have tried it like, I think, yeah, I said like 70 times when I first tried to play it.
Right.
And I got it in like 5 tries this time.
There's just a rhythm and a pace and a type of thing that you're doing and like...
Yep.
Yeah, last week you were like, oh, you've got to wait for your stamina to recharge and stuff like that you take for granted after you've played them for a bit. But like, yeah, you do,
yep.
you know? And so I'm very jealous of you getting to,
yeah.
after this, go through the 5 or 6 other games that are out there too.
Yep, yep. And I already own Sekiro and Demon's Souls.
Damn.
I've got to buy...
You probably got Bloodborne for free on the PlayStation.
I do have Bloodborne
because
as well.
Of that thing.
Yep.
So
yeah.
you've
yeah, yeah, yeah.
got
yeah.
a whole world in front of you of all these games that are sort of similar... but
right.
different enough from each other that if you're into them, you'll eat up every single one of them, and no matter how many they put out.
Yes.
You know what's crazy?
What?
This is such a huge coincidence, but the sentence that I just said
yeah.
could also apply, if you think about it,
yes.
to the Pokemon games.
Mm.
Yeah.
What a bizarre turn of events.
Yeah, hypothetically, if you were hanging out in a messy office late at night and
sure.
you heard some...
Night
strange...
at the Museum style.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
we didn't get to it last week. There was a... they had like a Pokemon Day event where...
When was Pokemon Day?
Was it like the 35th anniversary or something? Was it an anniversary thing?
It's not quite 35. Yeah. It's maybe...
25?
Yeah.
They've done this the last couple of years. It's just basically a big...
Just a big
they have
day.
Like a week where they have a bunch of... Where they announce stuff.
Right.
And so in the lead up to this, people were like, well, Sword and Shield came out not that long ago. Arceus Legends came out at the start of this year. Like, what, you know, what are they going to be? And now it feels like we're about to hit a bit of a drought of
right.
Pokemon content. People were, I saw some people online going like, oh, like a new Pokemon pinball seems kind of likely. That could be cool.
Yep.
But then, yeah, what they announced through a bizarre mix of live action trailer that also had a smattering of very vague looking in-engine gameplay kind of stuff was the next new mainline series, which is called Scarlet and Violet, which, yeah, what do we think? All of this is bizarre.
It's
weird timing.
The wackiest fucking thing that I've seen in a while where they're putting out two full Pokemon games in the same year.
Oh, yeah,
I guess
it's
three,
this,
technically.
It's out this year. Yeah.
It's out. They haven't said a specific thing, but you would assume November. That's when they've been putting out their Pokemon games lately,
yep.
other than Legends Arceus, which was a fucking month ago.
Yeah.
So, it's like they've done a few more extra little bits and pieces of like tweeting out some more information and I think another bit of footage or something.
Right.
But it's open world this time, and they set it in such a way that it seems like it's open world, rather than the Arceus open world with like segmented sort of areas.
Yeah,
right.
Which technically all the Pokemon games have sort of been anyway. So you could argue that they could say that of Sword and Shield or Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's going on. But no detail on the stuff like whether it'll have a similar battle system to Arceus of moving around and things like that.
I saw a lot of people online go, oh, this is cool. They're threading the all the stuff that was good about Arceus into a new mainline one. Mm. And I don't quite get where people are getting that from because
there's no reason that's a conclusion.
The kind
yet,
of wild areas sort of looking similar-ish to how they looked in the early trailers for Arceus.
Mm.
There's no real evidence of that, I don't think.
No, and the areas all looked similar to that in Sword and Shield too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so, the fact that they haven't run through like they did with Arceus, right? They were like, look at this. This is how it works. You do it in real time.
Yeah.
You hide in the bush. Like that they didn't do. Well, they haven't done it yet, to be fair, but they didn't do it.
They showed off the a sketch of the starters.
Yep.
Which I think all look cool and interesting. I like them more than the starters that were in Sword of Shield.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they all kind of look cool and cute. And they also, weirdly enough, they said this after the event that they scaled back what they were going to do because of the situation in Ukraine, which seems...
Wait, what they were going to do for the event or for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet?
I don't... For the reveal, they were going to have like a bigger reveal and they were like, oh, we kind of dialed it back because of all this stuff going on in the world. It just didn't seem appropriate to be making a big deal about Pokemon, which you could argue about literally everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they've put back Advance Wars as well. We're not going to talk too much about that because it's based on serious stuff. But
it's fair enough with Pokemon because originally these new ones were called Pokemon Guns and Pokemon Bombs.
Oh, no. So terrible names.
That's that. They did make that change and I think that's fair enough. Yeah.
Scarlet and Violet sound better anyway to me. So if anything, I'm glad all this is going on because it's...
Scarlet and Violet are terrible because it's like purple. Red and purple is an awful color combo.
But what's the version of blue that instead of violet? Have they had? There's indigo is a place in some of them, the Indigo Islands or something, I guess.
Yeah,
Something about Scarlet and Violet seems cooler to me than Sword and Shield. I never liked. I always thought that was
Sword and Shield. I'm like kind of meh.
Clunky and a bit like I don't know. Scarlet and Violet's kind of vibey. I like it.
It's like a Spanish inspired area too, people are saying. So I, for whatever reason, Scarlet and Violet make sense to me in that context.
Mm.
You know, they seem like very Spanish colors.
Yeah. I would have gone with red and yellow.
Red and yellow?
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems Spanish to me.
Problem with that is...
Scarlet and... What's another word for yellow? What's a shade of yellow?
Taupe? What's taupe?
That might... Or is that like beige?
Pokemon taupe. That's bad.
Yeah. Pokemon mustard.
That's it.
Pokemon mustard and Pokemon mayonnaise.
Ketchup and mustard.
They'll run out of it. They'll have to eventually.
Yeah. There's only so many colors.
Eventually, they'll have to do ketchup and mustard.
Yeah. They'll just need to do like those hexadecimal values of colors at some point.
I would love that.
The fact that they did Sword and Shield, like they went Sun and Moon.
Yes.
So that's them kind of going, we're out of colors, but they're still... Mm-hmm.
They'd already gone Diamond and Pearl too, which is like... They're colours, but they're also objects that the colours are named after.
Sun and moon are they're celestial bodies, but they still do have colours kind of associated with them.
Yeah.
And then Sword and Shield, they're just like, all right, now it's just things.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they're like, fuck, you know what we forgot about? Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, different shades. Different shades.
I'm glad they're back to colour because if they just keep going now, it's like I'm not playing Pokemon Chair. There's no way.
Pokemon Chair and Table, I would be all in.
That's cool.
All the Pokemon were like household objects Pokemon, like those key ones are a start. Well, this is pointless as well because they're never going to change Pokemon that much, it seems. They're back to doing the normal fucking Pokemon thing.
Yes.
It appears to me.
This is still, even if Arceus hadn't just come out, this would still seem very soon after Sword and Shield, or is that?
It's. I think
guess
that's
it is a little while now.
Three, four years
for Pokemon as well. It's been a fair bit of time. You know, yeah, they've done their.
Wasn't it 2019?
Yeah, or but 18. even so, it's 2022 now. Yeah. You're old. Yeah.
I am old. Yeah. I guess that's 3 years by the time it comes out. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's pretty standard, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
But within the 12 months probably, but before this releases, there will have been those remakes of Diamond and Pearl,
yes.
Arceus, and then these two games.
Yep.
It's really, to me, oversaturation, especially when with these games it seems as though they won't have all of the Pokemon able to be played in there,
mm-hmm.
same as Sword and Shield. That yep. is from like that Cerebi website that is like a Pokemon website. They have some
the insiders.
Yeah. There's some data that suggests that.
But there's
all the other Pokemon they showed as well in this trailer were all old ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know what the point of these is.
Like people loved Arceus from
I like it a lot.
From people yeah. who had dipped out on Pokemon long ago to people yeah. who were still invested in it, loved all the new things that it did. And I think I just have no interest in playing something that doesn't bring all that stuff in.
I can't play it twice in the same year.
Yeah.
As well. Even if it does bring all that stuff in, it's bizarre to me.
I'd be interested if it's like open world and it's got the gym battles and it's got like a bit more kind of quote unquote story stuff going on, but it's got all the like the mechanical stuff about Arceus that made it great.
Yes.
That would get me in, but
that would definitely get me in.
Straight back to it's Sword and Shield, but just with different ones in it. I'm not.
Or
yeah.
just the same ones, even in a different setting. But yeah. then, yeah, like from what I can tell with Pokemon people, they're still playing Sword and Shield. Like if you like
yeah, people,
the sort of vanilla Pokemon experience, you're playing Sword and Shield still, and you've got Arceus at the back of your mind of like, oh, should I give this different style of one a go at some point? Because it literally just came out.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very weird that they're putting more out this year. Didn't expect it. But if they're of this new type that has been good, then great. More good Pokemon games.
Yeah.
But like what a rapid and like overkill amount of Pokemon games.
Yeah, crazy. It felt like we'd had nothing for a little while and then all of a sudden they're just full steam ahead on
and
it.
And it's still just the one development company.
Yeah.
It's like how are they...
They're freaks. Arceus, that's where the freak from Game Freak comes
that's
from.
That's true. It's 7 days a week.
Non-stop, yeah. baby.
That's how they do it.
Yeah.
It's got to just be the same engine as Sword and Shield, so I'd imagine
it
the amount
like
of
right.
work that's kind of gone into it is maybe... I mean, that's the other
or
thing.
Or it looks
is having
the same
a,
as Arceus, I mean, sorry, to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the weird thing is like having the next generation game be on the same hardware. I don't think they've ever done that before.
Yeah, they've done a few.
Have they?
Time. Yeah, like Black and White and Diamond
right.
and Pearl.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All
right.
But yeah, it's odd. It's an odd choice to bring out this slightly innovative version of the game that is not in a mainline series. It's set in the past. There's no gyms. There's no badges. None of that recognizable stuff. And then follow it up less than 12 months later with one which either is exactly the same mechanics...
Yeah.
And returning to the traditional structure or just returning to the traditional everything.
Yeah. It's very weird.
It's weird that they don't sit
on
this.
There's as many Pokemon games as there are bloody Pokemon now, aren't there?
No, there's heaps of Pokemon, Adam.
Yeah.
There's only about 15 games.
No, there's 940 games.
And there's 15 Pokemon.
And there's only 11 Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they're all Pikachus but different colours.
I think
hats.
That they're
now.
Now
when are
like,
you gonna get someone pregnant?
I think they're crying out for better hardware for these games to be on too. So
also
it's like
that,
because also by the time they do this, then they'll kind of be in that thing again where new Nintendo hardware comes out, and then the next Pokemon game is like quite far into the life cycle of that. So looking dated by the time it comes out, like you wonder why they don't just sit on this and have it be a launch thing. For the next, anyway, whatever.
Well, because they can develop two games in 1 year. So maybe they
apparently
will just bring one out really close to the launch of the next one.
Yeah, and they're all very similar anyway.
Yeah.
And I think part of the technical stuff in Arceus wasn't necessarily as much the Switch as the programming of that game. As
quite
well.
Possibly,
that's
yeah.
true, yeah, yeah.
I'll quite tell you another possibly. Thing that fucking freaked me out. I saw an article about
game
this.
Freaked you out.
Game freaked me out. I freaked out about a game in terms of not remembering how long ago Sword and Shield was.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild 2 was announced more than 1,000 days ago.
Ooh.
Okay, that's
Isn't
over
that
3
up?
Years.
Yeah. 3.5 years.
It's more like 365, right? So it's less than 3 years.
Mid-2018.
Oh, yeah, true.
But it's a lot of time.
I guess they did announce that really quickly after one being out, right?
And one was out 2016?
2017. And then start of 2017. It was E3. Must have been E3 2018.
Yeah. Right. And it would have been 2019, I guess they announced it. Early 2019.
It was at E3.
Was it?
Yeah. It was a little one more thing in an E3.
I should have just read this article and told you exactly what it was. But just time is fucking progressing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nintendo has a bunch of great games coming out this year and haven't potentially. If this new Pokemon game is good, then fucking sick.
Yeah, yeah, true. Hey, yeah.
I played the Kirby demo and I had a really good time.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's fun. Chill. It's funny.
It's funky.
It's a funny game. You suck up a fucking traffic cone,
yeah,
and he's having trouble walking. It's like,
it does look,
they're having a sense of humor with this. This is a funny fucking game.
To be fair, that sense of humor is the same sense of humor as a drunk 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Look at this traffic cone. I'll fucking stick it up my...
The peak of comedy.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Kirby's getting into a bobcat and pretending to drive it, getting his mates to take a photo of him. Yeah. Why not? Sick.
Kirby pushing someone else into a bush.
Yeah.
Throwing someone's shoes over the fence.
Going into mouthful mode with the car, but he slowly drives away every time someone tries to hop in his upper lip.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you liked it. What is it? The first like couple of levels?
It's like
or?
two levels and a boss.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so you get to do mouthful mode with the car. You get to do it with a vending machine. You get to do it with a traffic cone, and very like Mario 3D world ish.
Nice.
Little hidden things in the levels, but looks good. Seems fun and chill to play.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the full thing in a couple of weeks, I believe.
Hell yeah, yeah, April? I'll give that a crack. Yeah,
March 25 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, yeah. There's a couple. What was the other thing on March 25?
Ghostwire.
Yeah, Ghostwire. So there was a state of play this morning.
Yes. And it was very good.
Yeah.
I got up to watch it. I think did we all watch it live?
I didn't watch it. I was at the doctor's.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. There.
Hey, doc. I'm feeling like there hasn't been enough state of plays lately. Mm. Am I going crazy? And then he turns his phone around and it's on and he's like, yep. Then you go, oh, okay. He's like, why did you come in here? And you're like, oh, the light was on.
Yeah.
It's like that other doctor joke.
I'm depressed. Well, why don't you just watch this state of play? But doctor, I am the state of play. And he looks over at me and I'm just like my head's just like a video of Ghostwire
YouTube
playing.
Yeah.
You could do any version of it and, have equally as good of a time, which is...
No, I reckon a better time. So, yeah, this was announced yesterday, our time, and was specifically said to be focusing on Japanese games.
Yep.
And baby... It did deliver.
Which is a strange caveat to make, I have to say.
Yeah.
I've never seen that kind of thing announced.
No, I think that's a good point, yeah. But I guess, yeah.
They often just say, like, they give you what expectations to have of their thing.
Yeah.
And it was...
And it is literally all Japanese games.
Weebs only.
Otaku Central. And they also mentioned ahead of time, no PSVR 2 shit.
Okay.
Which is fair enough, because that was what was in the last one. But, a bunch of games were revealed in this. The first one was a silly one. You got to start with a silly one. Exoprimal.
The dinosaur, sounds cool.
Dinosaur Dynasty Warriors, it looked like to me.
Capcom having to field, many, many questions from people afterwards and clarifying this isn't a sequel or remake of Dino Crisis.
That's exactly what I thought it was going
to
be.
Which you have to think, it's like, well, why not just make it Dino? Like, if you're just going to make another dinosaur game and be swatting away these questions, like, just make it a Dino Crisis remake.
Especially they had, like, a similar-looking red-haired Dino Crisis woman sitting in the control center after the beginning of this trailer. Watch this trailer if you're going to watch anything from it, because the first line in this trailer is... about the dinosaur report for the day, said like it's weather, and immediately that got me. I'm into this game. Yep. It looks great. I thought it looked really pretty and cool.
Fun style, little Samus style exosuits on the people.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a fun, stupid sort of mix of like Anthem and like EDF, the Earth Defense Force games with all the bugs and things.
Yep.
And like a Dynasty Warriors thing. Not too serious and
Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors isn't bad.
That's what I'm calling it.
Dynasty Stegosaurus is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
You know what's frustrating though is seeing that it's out next year.
PS4 and PS5.
And it's still
as well.
Yes.
It's that is
that's the exact same reaction. Yeah.
I mean, by that point where 2.5 years almost. Mm, well, probably yeah. by the time this comes out, yeah, it will be at least 2.5 years into this generation. And
1,500
it's like,
days away from the launch of Breath of the Wild.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
It's like just can we just commit? Can we just commit to having games that make full use of this current hardware instead of just looking a little better or the frame rate being a little more consistent? It's annoying to see stuff announced for 2023 that is still on everything, I think, at this stage.
I agree.
As someone who's had access to a PS5, sure, but you know that you just can't blame them for having to play by the numbers.
Yeah,
type
they can't
of thing.
Leave all that money on the table.
Yeah.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd snap it up like Kirby,
yep.
hoovering up that money, turning into money myself.
Oh.
And that's my curse.
Yeah.
Like Midas. I've ruined my life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess next they showed a bit of a DLC for Returnal.
Yeah, Returnal Ascension. Is that what it was called?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-op. Co-op.
Cool.
Extra modes, extra guns, extra... There was a survival mode as well as a co-op.
Extra
mode.
Chewing gum.
I had some on the way here.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what flavor?
Green. Spearmint?
I think that's spearmint.
That sounds
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
It's either... What's that other type of mint?
Peppermint.
Peppermint.
Peppermint blue extra must be, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they did. Pokemon Peppermint and Pokemon Spearmint.
Ooh,
how about that?
Oh, I'd
that's
fuck with
good.
That. Yeah.
Ah,
that's
Wrigley, good. Wrigley!
That's one of
yep.
them. Hoppa
yep.
Bubba.
Yeah.
That's another Pokemon. Yeah, there's like, it's weird for a game like Returnal to be like...
Five gun!
Yeah. It's weird for a game like Returnal to... Pikachu!
It's
weird for a game like Returnal to have a like a survival mode, because that's what that game is already, but... It's a fun, well-playing game, so more reason to just keep replaying it.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Co-op's a fucking cool addition
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, that I'd was perfect. That. Yeah, 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 that was a cool little announcement.
So this is an update, 3.0,
yes.
but is this free DLC?
It is, yeah, it's free. It's just an update.
Great.
Just a patch, yeah.
Sweet.
Very cool.
They gave a little update, speaking of updates, on Ghostwire Tokyo and Stranger of Paradise
yes.
Final Fantasy Origin, which
yes,
are both
yes.
coming out very soon.
Yeah.
Those still look good. We'll talk about them in a couple of weeks.
Yep. There's a new demo for Stranger of Paradise where your progress carries over to the game.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that which is, I think, out now. So,
and is there a
yeah.
prequel for Ghostwire Tokyo out on Steam? I think I got a notification.
There's like a comic or something.
Oh,
like
okay. okay.
I think it is.
I'll give that a read because it looks like a pretty lore-heavy game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, more of that, more first-person using powers and stuff. I love the design and yeah, I'm very excited.
Both of those games are great, yeah.
Yeah.
Still undecided personally on very good looking, but not sure if it will be good sounding, I guess, mainly in
yes.
terms of the acting. Forspoken.
Oh, yep. Mm.
They showed a bit more of, which has also been delayed until the 11th of October.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was meant to come out next month.
Yep.
So,
yeah. I don't know. I'm on the fence on this one. Could turn out to be great. I think this really depends on how it feels to play. Personally,
yeah,
I'll skip the dialogue if the dialogue's a bit cringe, but
right.
if it's fun and it looks good, then sign me up.
Okay.
That's not how I go with games. Fun and good looking, you're only halfway there.
That's it.
It gotta, better be...
You've got to have a personality as well. Well, I guess fun is personality, but...
Well, speaking of fun, maybe Gundam Evolution will be fun?
I thought this seemed fun and then it turned out to just be like a... Team Deathmatch FPS.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point of the mechs then?
Yeah.
To
and also the level design was like, there's no scale here. You can't tell they're giant mechs. They're all just like bland
That's true.
Sci-fi rooms.
Yeah. It's and because there's enormous buildings, but that just look like the walls of a sci-fi room.
Yeah.
There's like treasure chests that would be the size of, you know,
houses,
warehouses and... Yeah, you're completely right. This doesn't look fun at all.
But
I
there
retract
was a-
my earlier comment.
There was a trance song playing during the trailer, which was very late 90s.
Okay.
And that was the coolest part about it, I
reckon. The late 90s are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Sign you up?
You've hooked me.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Gundamn! That's how I'm going to say it.
Yes.
I'm going to say cowabunga, dude.
Why?
Oh, here we go.
What possible reason would you have to
Here's
say that?
Here's
Mikey. Trek to Yomi. No. Yeah, there's a little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collection. It seemed like a bunch of the SNES Master System.
It's everything from that era. So it's Game Boy, Yeah. SNES, NES, arcade.
Yep, that's right.
I think it's every Turtles game that came out until about, well, you know, almost ever. Until about 1997, and then they basically stopped being made.
But, they said late 90s is the cutoff. That's when it was the coolest.
These games were all, they're big nostalgia button for me. I was just thinking about I was listening to the soundtrack from Turtles in Time the other day. Loved these back in the day. We'll probably get this.
Yeah.
Pretty keen to go back in on all these Turtle games.
13 of them as well.
Yeah, fuck.
Some of them are double ups though.
Oh, really?
Some of them are like the arcade versions on there and the SNES versions on there.
I see.
That's odd, but okay.
Well, yeah, there's some purists that are like...
And they used to have pretty significant differences back in the day, so they would be, you know, they're kind of different games, but...
Yep.
Yeah, all beat 'em ups, I guess. And a couple of fighting
games, a couple of platformers.
Yeah, I think the Game Boy ones were more platformers, and the first NES one is like more of a platformer.
It is.
But that's kind of cool. Also, that new one that's coming out, I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be able to make it kind of, because these ones are, the original ones, like, they're fun and they were cool at the time, but they're very like one-dimensional. They're pretty like the appeal wears off. You're just doing a lot of the same stuff again and again and again.
I think they're actually two-dimensional, Tommy.
No, it's just a piece of paper.
It's just a line.
It's just a line. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the new one, whether they're able to kind of like bring it into a bit more kind of modern, make it a bit more interesting.
Yes, agreed.
For a longer play sesh.
Yeah. Turtles in Time, but before dimensional. Gigabash is...
This looked fun. It was like a kaiju game, sort of like a, what do they call it? When it's like one enemy... It's played by like a person, and then the three are taking that person on.
Asynchronous multiplayer.
That's it.
It looks a bit like Power Stone or something like that to me. That sort of top-down perspective of, people kind of brawling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of you's a Godzilla, and the other three are fighting the Godzilla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked fun.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah.
Smaller sort of scale type of game. Don't know jack shit about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I know there's a well-liked fighting game on the Dreamcast and the arcades.
It's a very well-liked manga and anime series. Long-running.
It's the one with the to be continued at the end, right? That became a meme. It's
definitely a highly memed property.
Yeah, I've read a few... I've read the first bit or like a few issues of the beginning of the manga.
Yeah.
But it's been going for like... 20 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's very daunting to get into. But I liked what I read. It's a cool premise.
I've watched a bit of the show. It's on Netflix.
All right.
Yeah. Sure. It's good. It's very quirky.
And this is like basically a sequel to, I suppose, the fighting game from Dreamcast era.
Right.
Because this is a fighting game.
Yeah. It is. It's cel-shaded. I thought it looked fucking sick visually.
It does look nice.
I guess I've gotten into like Injustice and Mortal Kombat a bit, but I never fully, like, I'm just not a fighting game person in the sense of like, you know, if you're a fighting game person.
Yep.
Right.
You're
sitting there and studying the combos and doing all that stuff.
Yeah. Figuring out hitboxes and iframes and stuff.
Yeah.
But visually, I thought it looked fantastic.
They're called glasses.
Hitboxes.
Apple glasses. Iframes.
Not for me as well, probably, this game.
Yeah, I'll watch a YouTube video about it.
At least aesthetically appealing was Trek to Yomi. I want to say Yomi.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sort
of black and white kind of samurai looking game.
Yeah, side-scrolling, it looked like.
This has been shown off before somewhere, and it looks cool.
I don't think I paid attention the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I paid attention this time. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Is there a game, a 2D... combat game? I guess Sifu was like very combat intensive.
Similar in the way that it's sort of very deliberately doing the sort of cinematic versions of this type of film.
Yep. But I thought it looked fantastic. I'm all in. Oh, maybe it reminded me of Olly Olly World, of just like a complicated but specifically 2D game.
It looks a bit real aesthetic, insidey as well, but you know, with more combat because you are doing samurai shit. But it is very,
very insidey,
aesthetically appealing.
Unless you drag the TV and the PlayStation out into the yard.
Yeah, well then it would be outsidey.
Outsidey, sort of. It'd be really outsidey.
But it'd be, you could be
hard to play. Glare on the screen.
Oh yeah, set up a little beach umbrella or something.
I guess hire a marquee just so you can play PlayStation outside.
Yeah. What, hitboxes?
Yeah.
So,
but I'm excited for this game. I'll definitely be playing it. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I agree. And then two more Square Enix games right at the end.
Yes.
Another strategy RPG. A weird sort of revival of those, I guess, kind of at the minute. You got that Metal Slug one coming out later.
Yes.
Triangle Strategy just came out, which we'll probably talk about in a week or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think Fire Emblem Three Houses, it feels like kicked it off into the mainstream a little bit.
Maybe, yeah, I guess so.
And then XCOM before that. But yeah, big. It's the era of turn-based RPG strategy.
And the Diofield Chronicles is next.
Tuned out during this one.
Yeah. The Ronnie James Diofield is what you'd be in when he was playing, when he was singing at you. Yeah. But like,
nice. If he was outside.
Terrible fucking he'd be in name. A field.
Yeah. Badass name, as in bad.
And just like this type of game often does in a demonstration of it, at least.
Yeah.
Looks kind of generic to me.
It doesn't, it's hard to portray the fun of those games.
Especially when you then have to go, and it's called the Diofield Chronicle.
Yeah.
A lot of terrible names, even like Exoprimal, I think is a shot. And again, you've got a great name there in Dino Crisis.
Yeah, what a good
just
name.
Like,
that
why
is.
Are you shying away from it and calling it Exoprimal?
I can see that because when they made Dino Crisis 3, it was too much of a step away from the first two and people kind of got mad about it. Okay. And this is nothing like that first sort of survival horror-y Dino Crisis.
Exactly. You have to make Resident Evil Dinosaurs to use that name.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that their only two options were Dino Crisis or Exoprimal.
Yes.
Same with the Diofield Chronicle. if it was still brick and mortar store days. Oh, Morty!
Oh, fuck! Beat me to it.
Yeah, well, brick and mortar. I would never get this game because I would never be able to have someone interact with me when they were either reading the words "the Diofield Chronicle" or I was having to say to them, "Hey, do you have
Where do you keep?" All of the copies of...
Yeah, do you have one? You're probably sold out already, but do you have a copy of the Diofield Chronicle?
It's the same thing that happens to a lot of movies. Like, I'm not going up to the fucking ticket box and being like, one adult for the Diofield Chronicle.
Yeah.
It just sounds boring.
You're the guy who came in to get Triangle Strategy the other day, aren't you?
That's a fucking name.
And Valkyrie Elysium was the other one.
That one looked cool. Third-person action game.
Valkyrie Chronicles was a big popular RPG as well of this strategy kind of vein back on the like PS1 sort of days.
Yeah.
And this is that same universe but now an action game.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah, I think this one looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valkyrie and Elysium were two of the least interesting movies that came out in 2013.
Oh.
I reckon
what was Elysium?
Fucking Matt Damon.
They were both good movies, though. They just had bland titles.
Didn't love either, personally. But hey, this ain't the movie podcast. This is the game podcast.
That's true.
Yeah.
So my insightful thing to say about Valkyrie Elysium is,
two names.
Two names.
Yeah, nothing like that looked like shit. Just a bunch of stuff that I wasn't personally that interested in, other than maybe Exoprimal.
I think I'm interested in all of them, really.
Exoprimal's the big. I guess kind of the big announcement, right? Everything, nearly everything else in there people kind of knew about already.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing was brand new. JoJo's new, Returnal Ascension's new, and then the two Square games were brand new. But the other stuff was all just updates.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And a lot of them coming out in a week or two as well. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Exoprimal game, I reckon go have a look at the trailer for that because it looks like just a sort of stupid fun that might be great.
Yep.
Speaking of stupid things that can be great.
Yes.
Me with my hairy balls. Pretty fucking stupid. Yeah. But I could make that a lot better if I got rid of that hair.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there's no way to do that. So I'm just going to have to live my life covered in fucking fur like an animal.
Yeah, okay. Let's do the Nord ad then, shall we? Manscaped is back again sponsoring the show. They've been sponsoring us for a year now, I believe. So happy anniversary, Manscaped.
If we're going to celebrate our anniversary,
yeah.
I guess I better clean myself up a little bit.
If you want Manscaped to give you a little anniversary gift, then yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? They will give you a little anniversary gift if you go to their website and buy the performance package. I guess you're giving yourself a gift. But
you can give it to someone else if you want as well. You can buy things for someone else.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Manscaped, by the way, is a company that does personal grooming if you've never heard us do this before.
Well, the performance package, contains the lawnmower 4.0. Yep. It's in the fourth revision now, and it's fucking good. I think we all agreed. We loved the third revision.
Yeah.
And it's simply gotten better.
Are they going to go like a lawnmower like 4.2? Or are they just going straight to, they're not going like mid-range patches where it's just a few bug fixes.
They're
going
to bring out the Lawnmower 4.5, and that has a couple more ones that Weeman did during that. And there's a little bit more BAM in there possibly.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yep. 4.5.
I might skip 4.5 then. I just like the more curated stuff with Johnny Knoxville's ball sack.
they're probably using Manscaped razors in those films because they have pretty clean ball sacks, which you can have too if you go to manscaped.com and then... Here's the key.
Yeah.
Use the code FILTHY and you get 20% off whatever you get and free shipping.
Yeah.
Too. And that performance package is a very good anniversary gift if you were looking to maybe get something like that.
Yeah. It is. The lawnmower specifically is one of the best, if not the best, electric razor I've ever owned. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
I use the 3 all the time and I use the 4 on my face.
Yeah.
I think we've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. It's just a damn good electric razor.
Yep. It is.
And the performance package, I think there's like the cologne and the little, deodorant stuff and all of that shit. You can also get the ear and nose trimmer, which again,
great product.
I'm loving.
Yep. Everyone's got them.
Everyone's got ears and noses.
And so you can trim them for, manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you love codes, you probably love the internet. Which means you probably love being secure and safe and untraceable.
That's right. I like being untraceable while I change my region to watch stuff on Netflix USA.
Untraceable is what I would be if I were ever murdered and they had to do the chalk outline of me because there's just not enough chalk in the world.
Yeah.
I reckon, this whole thing.
I reckon less than one stick, personally.
I reckon the department doesn't have the resources to do it. But anyway, NordVPN is a VPN service that we use personally.
Yeah.
I like the Manscaped stuff.
I've been using it for years before they were a sponsor. It is probably, the best, most well-regarded VPN service on the internet that I've heard of. It allows you to change your region. It specifically protects your connection. You can get a fantastic deal if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy or go to nordvpn.com and enter the code FILTHY.
What do you get?
I believe,
what kind of deal is this? I don't doubt you, but I want to hear the specifics.
Well, you get a huge discount and you get a free month and you get a bonus gift.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You better say a bonus dick.
I didn't say bonus disc. I don't know why.
You can look up whatever you want, honestly. That's the beauty of it.
Maybe the gift is a disc. Who can say?
Yep.
But I believe the discount is dependent on how long you sign up for, but it's something like up to 70%, which is insane. And I used someone else's discount code many, many years ago when I signed up with Nord, and it was like $2 a month or something crazy like that. Mm. So it is something that's worth having in the contemporary internet world.
Yep.
Especially in the day of different, different distributors having different bullshit reasons for putting different shows on different streaming services.
Absolutely. We should be able to pay to use HBO Max if we want.
I'd love to be able to give a company money.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Fuck me, I guess.
I don't even want to watch the stuff.
Right.
I just want them to have a bit more in the skyrocket.
I'm just sick of having
seasons of Curve.
Yeah. You love the production, so you just want to donate. Yeah.
I've had it too good for too long. I want to give some back to the community, which I view as Hulu.
You're telling me it's not TV, it's HBO. Well, you know what? It's functioning a lot like TV because I have to be in the right country to watch it.
I have to wait until a specific time?
Yes.
Not how it's meant to work anymore.
No.
And with NordVPN, it doesn't.
That's right. You can watch Twin Peaks on Netflix USA. You can watch stuff on HBO Max, BBC, whatever you want. But yes, go to nordvpn.com/filthy or just use the code FILTHY on their website to get a big old discount, a free month, and a bonus gift. We don't know what the gift is yet because we haven't done this.
Would love anyone who does this, please let us know what the gift is. Yeah. I'm dying to know.
Yeah.
You'd think that they could give us the heads up. It's like, hey, look, just don't say this. We want it to be a surprise for the customers, but just so you guys know, this is the gift.
What if
the gift is like a box of bees or something, and then we're sending our listeners over there?
Photo of Pammy or something like
that. Yeah, it's a free photo of Pammy.
Yeah.
little package of screensavers with like the dancing baby in the
flying toaster,
the walking through the maze, the pipes.
Yep.
I'd love stuff. Remember when that used to be like the bonus content that was on like CDs and stuff that you'd buy? It'd be like, hey, here's the new NSYNC thing with CD-ROM capabilities.
Yes.
Well, and you get a JT wallpaper.
Yes. Yep. Well, also now, no one gives a fuck about screensavers.
Yeah.
You never hear of anyone having a screensaver anymore. It's like, yeah, I'll get the fucking burn-in on this monitor. Mm. See if I care. Mm.
I want the Windows logo there, actually. Yeah. I want that to be on my OLED. I was led down a path at the end of which was a game called Gran Turismo 7, which I've been playing.
The real driving simulator?
Sorry. I might have confused people by giving it a short and abbreviated name. Gran Turismo, the real driving simulator, 7.
Has it always been known as the real driving simulator?
That's always been
the
subtitle, yeah.
But it's like a, not even a subtitle. What's that thing called when it's like a little, I guess it's a motto or a
log line.
It's always been the real driving simulator ever
since. It's in the logo now. It's like attached to the logo when you boot it up.
They've had that for a long time, I think.
Okay.
But this is the 7th. Maybe they skipped it for sport, actually.
Probably,
could be the thing.
That probably wasn't a simulation of real driving.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? We can't mislead people.
This is so fake.
Yeah. They called it was GT Gran Turismo, the Unreal Driving Simulator Sport.
But then that's Epic's one is the Unreal Driving Simulator.
Yeah.
They had a copyright battle.
But,
remember?
Yeah. So it's been a very long time since a numbered Gran Turismo. The last one was
6.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. But on the PS3 in like 2016 or something.
Okay.
Right.
So what's the story there?
Or 2014,
I think it was pre-2015. I don't think
Sport
we've talked about it on this show. Yeah.
Sport must have been in 2016. But like I do remember Gran Turismo 6 came out on the PS3 after the PS4 existed.
Right.
So
okay.
Maybe
and what
2014
was the
is.
Yeah.
Difference? What made Sport like, you know, so different to us, so as to not warrant a numbered entry?
So it didn't really have the same sort of world map and progression and all that sort of stuff that is back in Gran Turismo 7 that is from the classic ones.
Yes.
Gran Turismo 1,
mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo 2,
mm. yep.
Gran Turismo 3.
Okay.
Gran Turismo 4.
And then?
Gran Turismo 5. Actually, in between, I've skipped Gran Turismo 3 fucking prologue and Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah,
prologue. They put out a bunch of weird things. But so, yeah, the last full one was 6, which wasn't that highly regarded because it was sort of like 5, but with more stuff added.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tends to be the way.
Mm.
Was still on the PS3 when the PS4 existed.
Mm.
Some of those Gran Turismo 5 cars were Gran Turismo 4 cars from the PS2. Like just sort of at a higher resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long time since they've done a big, like, throw the kitchen sink at it Gran Turismo game,
yep.
which is what that series was always kind of famous for back in the heyday
yep.
of 2 and 4 in particular, I really, really liked.
Okay. I have a group of friends who love the Gran Turismo games, and I found out the other day that they all took the day off work on Friday. Which is funny when you consider that a week before this, I know a lot of people had done that for Elden Ring, which to me makes a bit, it's like, oh, this huge open world. I just want to close the blinds, turn it on and just get lost in this expanse.
I've got to sink into the gameplay. It's tough, so I want to get over that. Yeah.
It's funny to have that, but to be like, I'm just going to do car races all day. Not knocking it. It's just a very different approach.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I fired up Gran Turismo 7, so I revved up Gran Turismo 7.
Yeah.
And I kind of got sucked in like that.
I've been a bit, because it's very like, it sets you up. It gives you basically a little kind of tutorial thing that's then like kind of guiding you through all the different things in the menu. So you'll do a couple of races and it's like, hey, now why don't you go and learn about tuning? Come back here when you've done that. Like it's got like a little, it'll kind of guide you through the menus.
Right.
Doing races in between. So it is very easy to fall into like, oh, I'll see what else I unlock if I now just go. Because it'll be like, go and do 3 races and in each race you win a car. So come back to me when you've collected 3 of these types of car.
There's a Moorish rhythm to it where like, so it's got a little bit of personality to it where you like, you've got kind of these, not heaps of personality, but still frames of human beings' faces mm-hmm. with text down the bottom of the screen.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to know, who are these who are these people that have been the acting gig of a lifetime, just having your photo representing a mechanic in Gran Turismo? Seems like a very funny gig to get.
I'm assuming because they look almost just like stock photos or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or like they might just be the developers of the game dressed with like a racing suit up to their neck.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, you'll get guided through to like this cafe that's in the middle of this very plain menu city thing, and you get menus, literal cafe menus that are giving you sort of little tasks to do as you go throughout the game of like, collect this group of cars and collect this other group of cars, win this race, da da da.
It's made to look like it, the aesthetic of it is you click on it on the menu and then you're in an actual cafe.
Yes.
Which is funny to me that a barista's going, go and find me three hatchbacks and then drive them back here.
This world is obsessed with cars and everyone is so rich.
It's the car world. That's what it is.
It
is.
And there's people who just go to this car cafe and they say at the start, like, this cafe, everyone who comes here is obsessed with cars. There's like a woman who's always at the cafe and she can tell you anything about any car.
Right.
Everything about this game, it's very elegant. It's very Japanese. It, the whole presentation and vibe and feel of playing it is like being in a whiskey bar in Tokyo at 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
One of those ones that seats like four people and there's just a guy playing like jazz records.
Right.
Like
someone in the corner is drinking a whiskey so good that they're crying.
Right.
It's that type of level of thing where like when you turn it on, it gives you this like fucking 30-minute long, it's not 30 minutes, but it's long ages. Intro.
Yeah. It's a long video.
Maybe in reality like 6 or 7 minutes.
That's fucking long for a game.
Of like this slow, mournful piano, but like inspiring, showing you the entire history of the engine.
Yeah, great.
Like and taking like you through this 10 minutes
of it is just filmed footage of men in a manufacturing plant putting a car together, and you never actually see a completed car.
It's just
conveyor belts.
You do at the
shit.
End. It dips into this like fucking bomb to like make it, but then it has a very cool little transition where the sort of finished car on its side comes up.
Yeah, that's
the thing,
right.
And then it turns into the video game car, which looks incredible.
Right,
this whole game looks fucking amazing.
Well, also the presentation too, like the biggest comparison to a game like this is, I guess, Forza Horizon, which a new one of them came out at the end of last year.
Sure.
They're very different, but they're in the sense of like collecting a lot of different cars and, you know, you can tune up the engine in all the ways that you might want to if you know what you're doing with that kind of stuff. But, you know, the start of Forza is like, you're smashing over a barricade and there's like a British guy yelling at you going, oh, you're driving like an absolute lad out there. And then
Look out for the airplane. It's swooping over you.
Fucking hell, mate. There's a fucking submarine nearby.
And then your tutorial of this is you drive around a racing track while like Flight of the Bumblebee plays. Like it's
this like mashup of 50 different classical songs. It's like, you better take this corner right, cunt. You better drive exact. And it's great because Forza is focused on the Horizon stuff more.
Yeah.
There's so much more room for Gran Turismo to exist now because like those motorsport games, they haven't done one of them in a while.
People
kind of went off them. So it really, it's like watching NBC on a Thursday in 1994, right? And Gran Turismo 7 is Frasier.
Yep.
And then Forza Motorsport is like Friends, where it's a bit crass.
Yeah, sure.
That's a stupid analogy.
No, it's a good, I think it's a good comparison. Yeah.
Sorry, Forza Horizon, And so,
because Motorsport was basically Gran Turismo, right? It was a serious simulation game. Yeah.
Which this isn't, but it's giving you, it's serious and simulation-y, but it's still got all this personality and like there's just really nice sounding menus and a little rumble in your controller every time you move the cursor around. It just feels so pleasant to interact with.
Yeah, all the haptic stuff on the, I know this is it's a cross-gen game, but all the haptic stuff and the way the triggers feel with controlling the acceleration and the brake feels great.
It's so good.
Yeah, when I fired it up, the first song that played on the menu was, I always pronounce the name wrong, but Krang Bin.
Yep.
That band doing a cover that they did a while ago of the song Summer Madness by Kool and the Gang. Just classy as hell. Just real vibey.
Yeah.
A lot of jazz that's playing under the races. I don't know if you, I don't think that you can change the music in the races. There's no like, there doesn't seem to be a button for,
I haven't gone
changing
for
radio. But again, if you can't change the music mid-race, I kind of respect it. It's like, no, this is what you're listening to.
Yeah.
Because there also is this weird music rally mode that is basically a time trial where there's little checkpoints that you have to go through to like replenish your time. and a song. It's kind, but it's all kind of based around you driving in time to this song.
A long song too that you get as far up the pack as you can during that song.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's kind of weirdly, it's just basically a time trial mode, but it's got this weird kind of arcadey. It's this, you're in this specific car on this specific track with this specific song playing, and it'll do this thing if you're starting to run out of time as you get towards a checkpoint. The screen will start going grey and the music starts to fade, and then you hit the checkpoint and it all kind of like boosts up to full volume again.
It's really cool.
It's cool.
There always used to be like the simulation, like in Gran Turismo 2, it was two different discs. There was a simulation one and an arcade one.
Oh, right.
Arcade back then was just you could go and pick whatever track you wanted, basically. They would do that. But like, so the game is always online. Mm-hmm. And the world, music one is the only one you can do if you're offline.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is weird.
I mean, you don't, most people probably won't notice it these days because most people are always online anyway at the moment. But it's always phoning home and stuff because there are weird microtransactions in this
now. Yes, that does seem to be really at odds with how classy and elegant all of the rest of it is.
It's
you
very
go
odd.
To the used car dealership to buy a new car with your credits that you've earned in game, and then it'll come up with a thing of like, if you click one that you don't have the in-game cash for, it'll come up with like, hey, click here to go to the PlayStation store to top this up. And it's a bit, all the rest of it is just so like nice and classy. And then to have this like ad for spending more real money just feels yuck. It feels so weird.
I agree.
It's jarring.
And because you're getting plenty of cash in the game, it doesn't feel like they've tweaked it so that you're more encouraged to do this because you're barely earning anything.
Right.
Like,
yeah. They haven't artificially increased that.
I found that fine at this point, but the fact that it's always online and, you know, there's a ticker tape thing running down the bottom, like, here's our future updates. There's nothing to suggest they won't change that balance in the future, which other games have done.
Yeah.
They come out, it's all fine, then they alter it later so the reviews are fine and all that.
Just even having it as an option seems weird. I mean, if you're someone that wants to get on there and spend $40 day one to have a Lamborghini, then good for you, I guess. But
there'll be heaps. It's the same with, I don't know, like, I don't know why this is coming to mind, but Star Citizen, that game that is not released, but it's like they let people buy fake... Well, they let people buy in-game ships.
Yeah.
People like to collect stuff. Car people like to collect cars specifically.
Yep.
It's a very smart business move.
Mm.
If
and for that reason, is why it probably feels shitty.
Yeah. I just read somewhere that the actual balance of what it costs, like what the average car costs in real world money, seems bizarre.
That
seems over the top to me.
They've got this fucking weird thing where they've hired real world economists to adjust the prices of the cars in real time. I don't quite know how that works.
Yeah.
But they'll go up or down.
That's weird.
It's a very strange layer they've added to this game because the joy of this game is collecting cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is what the game is about. The races are good. The driving is very realistic and cool. Going through and doing all the license tests and like trying to get gold and sort of relearning how to drive video game cars because this one is more realistic than a lot of games have been for a long time, or at least ones that I've played. Even Forza Horizon, you're doing wacky shit in that. So it
Forza's trying to be more fun than
It's very satisfying and fun, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It looks beautiful. It runs a real smooth 60 frames, and then you can choose to have like ray tracing on for the replays.
Oh, cool.
Make really nice reflections in the cars, but it runs at 30.
Right.
But then it's always 60 without ray tracing in the races.
It's funny because it automatically loads up the replay after each race without you choosing it. It's like, obviously you're going to want to watch this back. It's like, you want to? Yeah, of course you want to watch it back.
Yeah.
Because I do find my preference in these kinds of games is to play from the view that is behind the car.
Right.
And that the angle of that has taken a bit of getting used to because it's kind of got this weird thing where it just where the camera is. I think the camera tends to, when you steer, the camera moves perfectly with the car.
It's locked on.
It's like locked. It's on so instead of metal. Like I think in Forza, if you turn, you see the car kind of start to swerve a little bit, and it's weird to get used to because it feels very slow as well. And I know these games are designed to be played from, I guess I think the default is like the in-car view where you're seeing the interior and the steering wheel and stuff.
Which are all really well modeled and
they're
look
great.
Super nice and it sounds different inside of the car to outside.
But they just
it's
take up so much screen
done.
Real estate. And I always kind of feel like I want to see the actual car because that's the whole point of having a different one. Is
me
it
too. Yeah,
looks a bit different. So it's taken. It's just the camera is set up differently in that mode, which has taken just a bit of getting used to because it's so unlike any other. It almost makes it feel like it's Mode 7 thing on the SNES where it's like because the car is just staying locked,
right?
Then it's like the ground is just moving underneath you. Yeah,
but it's all so well done, so just like perfectly tuned.
Ooh.
That I'm really enjoying it. I'm Me loving too. The tone and the mood and the progression and the aesthetics and the look of it and just the simplicity and or purity, I guess, of it is really appealing to me. If you
get
don't
to
like,
feel like a rich person who can own elegant cars.
I'm Jay fucking Leno over here.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a car guy. I've never had an interest in this series before, but I'm loving it. Right. So I reckon it's worth I think it's worth a look regardless of your interest level in this kind of game because the whole, the presentation and the cool thing is, you get these little menu books that are like collect, you know, three of this kind of car that you'll do by, doing certain races.
You get cars as rewards and you get money as rewards and da da da.
But then you go back and they just give you a bit of info about the cars. Like you kind of can sort of learn about stuff as you're going along, which is kind of cool.
The game's enthusiasm for cars fuels my enthusiasm. Because like I'm the same. I don't give a fucking shit about cars in real life. But the game is so into them that I'm like, yeah, cool, man. All right.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to someone about something and they're really into it, and that makes you think that you're into it, but you're not at all. They're just fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Even like where you go and buy cars, there's like a separate area where you go and buy the cars that were made past 2010.
Right.
Which is like, which again is just such a like a purest way of making this game where it's like, we couldn't possibly have them all just in the same. I mean, that would never, that would just never happen in real life.
And because there's a ton of cars that are more recent and then they've got a bunch from like 18, like they've got some history of cars type cars.
Yeah.
But then, you know, mainly modern cars. They kind of skim over the 80s a bit, I noticed. There's like three cars from the 80s. There's about 400 and something cars, I think.
Right.
Well, it's funny because you're on these like Grand Prix tracks and then you're driving like a Suzuki Swift on it.
Right.
Like real family, like modern family cars.
I love that though as well, is that it's just real life cars rather than always driving this like, you know, fucking demo model weird pretend concept car and Horizon or always a Ferrari or whatever. So it's really fun. I don't know if you don't like driving games, I don't think you'll probably be into this.
Right.
No.
Because that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is fun if you want to master that, but you know, that's all there is in here.
It is a really, really good game to be playing alongside Elden Ring, honestly. Because it's like you have a moment where you just getting your ass beaten by this game and it's just nice to duck out and go, this is just chill. I just drive around.
Right.
I get a couple of cars. There's no huge barriers that I'm going to come up against.
Yeah.
It is a really nice little kind of, little palate cleanser.
I'm really interested to see what happens with it in terms of updates and adding more cars and how they're going to price stuff in the future. Yeah. And
I'd love more music rally
that.
Stuff. I think there's only like five tracks or six tracks on that to begin with. I wish there was like a huge
and they
menu
have said,
of them.
They've said they've given like a, here's our plan and it's,
a
you know,
road map?
Oh my goodness.
Ben's driving this conversation.
Hey, put the brakes on, boys. There's a lot more to talk about. Manual stimulation.
Now it's a car crash. Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. They've laid out kind of what they're going to do. It's more tracks and
stuff
like that, as
you would
imagine.
Cool.
And then more of the music rally stuff.
But this has been well received generally, right? Like this
I think
is,
so, yeah. I'm just really enjoying it. It's a good have it on your hard drive and play 20 minutes and do a race and then go and remember that you're meant to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Be late
because of driving a fast car, ironically enough.
Yeah.
So, I recommend it.
If you like cars it's fun. Yeah.
Driving games.
Great game.
I reckon by next week I'll play Chocobo GP, which is maybe more my speed.
You know what? The response to that is kind of middle.
I had no fucking idea it was a free to play game, and
it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
And you can buy it, but there's a free to play version, and then with the purchased version, there's like chunks of DLC and shit, and it's all like weirdly priced and apparently he's a dodgy kart racer. So yes, I was also going to have played that by now and have lost interest.
I've sort of, the reviews are all a bit like, you know, it's fine. But, you know, you got to feel for him in a sense, because that's out like today as we're recording this. Yeah. And then next week, the first wave of that Mario Kart 8 booster course thing comes out. Okay. So there's
six tracks each time?
Eight
tracks.
Yep. Damn. So I'm looking forward to that. That's looking forward to playing those tracks. Because a lot of them in that first wave are from the mobile game.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I'm not really familiar with them. So they will feel like kind of brand new tracks in amongst some of the classic ones that are in there. But yeah, I mean, if it's free to play, I'll give it a spin.
What does that mean? Like, is that the wheels. A washing machine joke?
No, like the tires kind of spinning.
What a never mind. Speaking of tire, you're probably tiring of this conversation. So we'll see you soon.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au. Get on the Patreon. Support the show.
Oh, yes.
Get a bonus episode every week.
God, there's been some good shit to talk about lately, pop culture wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we went and saw The Batman.
Thebatman. Yep. So that'll be, if you want to listen to us review The Batman, it'll be out on Monday. /Sunday,
right? Oh, Monday, Australia.
Yeah. True.
There's also the YouTube channel where we do two videos a week. Of course, you can get on the Patreon and get one of them early access every week.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Thursday and you're on the Patreon, you would have seen the last episode of Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
where we play that entire game. And did we keep everyone alive? You'll have to watch and find out.
Yes. Go listen to Hollywood Phonies.
Yes.
A new side podcast where we riff out fake movies that are in the background of real movies. And go see Chimp Cop, the comedy festival.
Yes, please do.
And go see me in Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. That's it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Gran Turismo and Elden Ring. Gran and Elden. What is this? Old people's video games week? Speaking of week.
Got a premise for that, Jay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.